Ask the Podcast Coach for September 20th, 2014.
Let's get cast.
Oh, there it is. It's the music. That Saturday thing. And we're way too loud on Mixer, which is always fun. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. That would be me, your friendly neighborhood podcast coach. And we do this every Saturday. If you just found us, you can find us over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And we have a special. We have somebody new in the chair today. Jim is out on assignment. I've always wanted to say that. I have no idea what it means, but no, he has a family thing today. And I'm really glad he's here because he was the man that said, Dave, you really need to check out Live. Live is pretty cool. And you really need to give it another chance. And so Charles McFall, my friends, is in the chair. Charles, thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm glad you went live. I was very happy to see, I guess, what, a year ago now? A little more than a year ago?
Close to that.
My email started popping up and said, Dave Jackson's live on Saturday morning. I went, awesome. I'm going back to sleep now.
Well, tell everybody where they can find you at.
You know, I've started this new thing because I do so many different projects and work with so many cool things I want to promote. And I realized on Facebook, it was getting too segregated. I could put a post here and maybe share it over there. I was like, there's got to be a better way. So I do a fan page for myself now called facebook.com/House of the Bear. And if you go there, you're going to get everything I do. My Success Freak Show, which is comedic motivation, from the Helicarrier, which is the number one news source for Marvel Avengers Alliance. That's a game on Facebook. I also work with Entrepreneur Radio. I do live events with hotels and bands and different things around where I do audio and setups. So you'll get to see behind the scenes of wherever I am in the world. That's what you'll get there. So it's fun. And my attempt to duct tape all of my projects together and not bombard all the different channels.
It is always kind of fun when you have multiple things going. It makes things fun. And for those that are not familiar with the legend that is Charles McFall, how long have you been doing this whole podcasting thing, man?
1922, I think, is when I got my
really
start.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Back when it was back when it was battery operated.
Yeah, back when I took that super soldier serum and all I did is give you a microphone. I don't understand. Let's see. 2004, I think, shortly after everybody's started, you know, got started. Because I know you'd been doing it for a little bit at that point. You were doing Musicians Cooler.
Yes.
And that was the first show I discovered of yours, which was awesome. I was a musician at the time and it was amazing. It was very helpful. And it probably still is, but I'm not a musician, so I don't check it out that much.
It's actually, that podcast is so on its last leg. It's now called The Marketing Musician because... Here's a tip. I named it the Musicians. Originally, the newsletter was called Musicians Cyber Cooler. And because it was like, you know, back then when the internet was new, it was like, oh, it's, you know, in the cyber world. And of course,
the word
cyber then soon got attached to the word sex. So everything was cyber. Like if you were on password, it'd be like, the password is sex. And they'd go, cyber. And the person would go, sex. Yeah. It was just, so I was like, all right, we got to lose that. The password is panties. And so I have no idea what that is. Do you remember that show? Betty White?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so anyway, so then I changed it to the Musicians Cooler, and then everybody thought it was somehow inspired by wine, some sort of wine cooler. So I changed it again to the Marketing Musician. But the bad news is I've been doing that show. I've been doing that topic for close to 11 years now. And I've just said all there is to say on it. So I still have people that listen, and I appreciate all of my listeners, but I've told them politely. I think I'm about done with this one. So, but
and that's the case. Sometimes projects will run their course, and that's something I've learned over my time. Because I started listening to podcasts around August of 2004, and shortly after that, I started producing segments, and I started my own show before Christmas that year, and. Then I started a second show shortly after that, and then because I can remember because I had my first kid on that podcast. My wife became pregnant, and And we talked about it through the show and leading up to the birth and made a big deal about it and all that jazz. So that's how I remember starting 2004. And I had a point this Saturday morning. I haven't finished my topic.
So more coffee.
Lost. It wasn't just to tell you I had a kid. You know, it really wasn't. It was to have a – oh, okay. So I've been doing it for almost 11 years now. And – or I guess 10 years. Let's just keep it. It's been 10 years. And I've learned things run its course. There's projects that you start – Probably my most famous project was Bear Crawling Nation. Mm-hmm. And it was started because I had nobody to talk to and I figured I wasn't alone in the world. So I'm just going to tell you my life and what's going on and talk through my problems like it's therapy and hope that it helps somebody. And it did. And I had a pretty good audience of people who connected that blew me away because it just, when you share pain, people connect with pain. It's not gay or straight or Republican or Democrat. It's, oh, we're going through that too.
Yeah.
But it ran its course. It became time for me to develop a show. Cause that wasn't a show. That was me talking about life and drinking and swearing and, and being upset and happy and everything else. But it was life. It was like coming over and hanging out with me and it was time to develop a show. So that ran its course. I'm sure Dave, you found that to be true as well with some of your projects. Just time is time.
Yeah, well, Seinfeld, MASH, you know, all the big TV shows eventually, you know, go kaput. Saved by the Bell. I mean, all the great TV shows have gone by. And
you had so great in there with Saved by the Bell. I mean, I grew up with it. I cannot look back and say it was a great TV show.
No, I was kidding, man. Hey, if you want to get in on the conversation, that number, we would love to have you. It is 845-262-2401. That's 845-262-2401. And again, you can join us over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. We'll talk about anything you want. And hey, you want to hear about a fun-filled failure? Let's talk about Let's talk about the magic of 3%. I got this from Jared Easley's book about podcasting good to great. And he brought this out. And I've gone through and done numbers over the last couple weeks. 3% is the magic number.
Okay.
And that is the fact that I started – I've been doing a Logical Weight Loss podcast for a while, probably 4 years at this point, and was like, hey, you know what? Weight Watchers charges about, I don't know, 20, 30 bucks a visit or a month or something like that, something ridiculous. So I decided I was going to start my own Weight Watchers online for my little podcast community. And
called it Cyber Watchers at first?
Yeah, it was called the Logical Losers Accountability Club, and found some cool software people could track their weight on it, and it was this whole community thing. And
You gotta make that more important than it is, because this is, you're talking about 4 years ago, apps were just barely kind of catching on to what's going on. So when you found something that everybody could track their weight on, that was a big deal, because it's not like there's a million of them like there are now.
Right.
I just wanted to be clear to everybody.
That's true.
You put some legwork in and made it happen.
Yeah. So it's actually a website for like personal trainers to put their clients in. I'm like, well, I can use this for my club. So, like, the club actually lost, I think there – well, the interesting thing is 3% of my audience signed up. And okay, if you don't have a huge audience, 3% – and then I wasn't charging a whole lot. And then the other thing I forget about, because I've been doing the School of Podcasting membership site for, whatever, 9 years now. And it's kind of a well-oiled machine and got all the kinks rolled out and things like that. And I forgot all the hustle that it takes to get a membership site off the ground. And so I did something based on a podcast movement. Chris Brogan said, if you have something and it's not working and it's sucking the time out of your life and you're not getting much out of it, kill your babies. And I went, I'm going to admit defeat on this one. Because I did a thing where, cause every Monday we would do a call and we would all say, I lost weight, I gained weight or whatever. And I had about 30 people sign up. And I think 20 of them stayed. Some of them would stick around for a little bit, then they'd quit. And sure. But in the end, it was about 3% of my audience. And then when I sent out a thing to the people that stayed that said, hey, okay, nobody's showing up on Monday night. What's a better night? What's a better time? Let's all work together. And again, about 3% of the people in the group went in and contributed to that. So basically, nobody was interested. And I went, you know what? I have no interaction. I don't think I was providing a huge amount of value. I was providing value, but apparently not enough to have people go, this is awesome. And so I killed it. I went, you know, I got other things I could be doing on Monday night. And so if you're thinking about starting a some sort of membership site, or if you think somebody will buy my I did a thing on the Marketing Musician podcast where I have an audio book, and I've been promoting it for a while. And I there was this cool – there's a I think it's Selfie, SELLFY.com. It's a, you can sell digital files with it. And I'm like, hey, I want to check this out. And so I dropped the price drastically on it, and you guessed it, 3% of my audience went to look at it compared to the downloads, and nobody bought it, which was interesting. But it's, again, so if you, it's easy to go, well, let's see, we've got 500 people listening to the show, and if we could get 50% to just give a buck, that would be $250 an episode. And I'm here to tell you, you should bank on about 3%. And in the book, Good to Great by Jared Easley, he talks about that's kind of normal. 3% is like kind of a wow-like number. So that was different, somewhat depressing at a time. But Rick in the chat room says, hey, who's the guy in Jim's chair, basically? That is the one, the only Charles McFall from Success Freaks and Other Great Things. I was joking this morning. I said, Jim is out on assignment. He has some family thing came up, and he said, hey, can I got to bow out on the chair? And I went, no. So Charles was a guy that a long time ago started off live doing Bear Crawling Nation, and I was on his show. And so when I was like, hey, you know what? Let's get somebody that can do live. And the other thing is, like, I was going to ask Ray Ortega, but he's already kind of said the weekends are gone. And Ray's in California, so it's 7 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, that's not going to work for that. Well, and
you can sit on it, West Coast.
That's
East
right.
East Coast has got this.
So I was like,
I'm not sure where our phraseology stands on Saturday mornings. So I'll be Saturday morning cartoon dirty. That's about as dirty as I'll get. But I love Ray, man. He's such a great guy.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, I need to, and then it's like I said at the beginning, I said, Charles was one of the guys that talked me into trying live many moons ago when I first started kicking the tires on Blog Talk Radio. And just to see,
I think
what
I had to pull you onto my show two or three times before you got the bug, though.
Yeah.
So like, you got to do this, Dave. You'd be perfect at live because you did the band thing. You know how to perform live.
Yeah.
You know how to do it.
So it's a lot of fun. But if you guys have any questions, again, as always, that number is 845-262-2401. 845-262-2401. And we would love to hear from you. Or you can see us at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And that's the one thing that's really different about live versus like normal, like a normal podcast where you're just, it's time shifted, is the fact that you do have to occasionally remind people where you are and to call in, because you're like, you kind of think, well, they can always rewind. No, they can't. You can on the recording, but if people just tuned in, they just came into the chat room or things like that, then it's like, oh, well, hold on a second. They got to go that route. So, so New Media Expo has bought the podcast awards. Do we care about that?
Do we care that they bought them, or do we care about New Media Expo, or do we care about the podcast awards?
Do we care that the podcast awards are now owned by New Media Expo? Is that news? I mean, it's news that it was bought, but I'm like,
it's news because it's a first time ever thing. It's still breaking history for podcasting because it's gone from what has been a grassroots production. I mean, it is early in the morning for me today, so I'm going to throw out names, and you correct me just for your audience. Yeah. I'm going to throw out stuff, and Dave is going to correct. And it's not because I don't know what I'm talking about. It's because my coffee is still about half full, and I'm working on it. Todd Cochran.
Yes.
Todd Cochran started that, and he's been doing it himself, and he got sponsors, and he's gotten help, but he's been doing it. So for an organization, which I know is still Rick Calvert, but it's still more of an organization and a business to buy, I think is newsworthy because it broke history. I think it's important because I think ultimately New Media Expo is going to grow to a point that a huge corporation buys it and runs it. And it might be NAB. It might be anybody else. It might be Sony Entertainment. Who knows? But I think it's one of those things that's growing that's not going to go away. And ultimately, it will be purchased by a big-time event organizer or however those things go. And I think the podcast awards being already owned under that umbrella will only get bigger and better. That's also a hope, not necessarily an analysis.
Yeah, it's I know, especially the last time, and I wonder if this had anything to do with it. There was a lot of people. It was always a coinkydink. The people that didn't get nominated or didn't win would then seem to have a lot of complaints that it was rigged and it was not fair and it was a popularity.
Come on, last time?
Yeah. There's a couple of websites that went up there like, this is – and I'm like, oh, come on now. It's like you can't. Yeah. So –
of course, it's a popularity contest. It's not the Academy. Now, they could have two versions. They could have the Academy Awards where all the podcasters, like us, the hosts, get the caster vote and that's it, right? That's how the Academy does it. And then it's still a popularity contest because if I don't like Dave Jackson, I'm not voting for Dave Jackson. But yeah. It's nominations are very cut and dry fair, I think. It's you meet certain criteria, you get nominated. And I've been nominated every year that I've tried to get nominated. I know you have too. Yes. I think you've gotten nominated a few years. You didn't even try because I was out there go nominate Dave Jackson. He's my buddy. but yeah, the voting. I mean, yeah, it comes down to you have to do numbers somehow.
Yeah,
and it is popularity. And if I have an audience of 1,000 and my buddy Brian Embitt has an audience of 15,000, who do you think is going to win?
Yeah,
you know, that's just. That quit eating sour grapes, man.
Yeah, that was me. Michael Dell in the chat room says, "How do you guys keep your schedule? How do you? I mean, well, number one, I think, and this isn't Michael's case, but let me answer this kind of generic. And I always tell people this is why I always say record a couple test shows because then you're figure out just how long it takes to create a show, and then like now that it's like wow, that took me 4 hours to do a 15-minute podcast or whatever." Maybe I should only do this once a week, you know, figure out what it's going to take and then try to fit that schedule into your schedule. Cause I've had people, I had a, one of my clients decided he was going to do a daily show and I'm like, dude, that is an aggressive schedule. And I saw a while back, he was saying that, he was basically just saying, hey, if anybody wants to come on my show, I need guests. And I'm like, that's a really bad strategy because you want good guests. You want people that are going to bring value to your audience. And now you're just saying the criteria to get on is a heartbeat. I'm like, that's not a good idea. So how do you keep your schedule, man?
You know, there's a couple of things. What you're talking about is you got to fit it into your life. And that's something I'm actually looking for an entrepreneur coach, you know, somebody who builds businesses, who has built businesses. Cause I work for myself 100% now. And I'm actually about to take on, it looks like I'm about to take on another business. So I'm figuring out how to balance and juggle. Demand of your time is a good way. If you know you're not going to get paid if you don't do it, then that's the thing. And that's how I viewed podcasting was I'm here for the audience. I'm here. My payment when I first started was the fact that you write in or you called in. Or I did live. Man, I did live after doing 8 shows. So I went live pretty quickly back in the day. And so I knew it was like, if I don't show up, it's one thing if I don't show up and the audience doesn't show up. I mean, it's one thing if I show up and the audience doesn't, but it's a whole nother thing if they show up and I don't, because then that's horrible and that's crap. So finding some kind of reasonable demand on your time that makes you go, even when I don't want to do this, I'm going to do this because they make it worth it or something makes it worth it is how I go about. And then I try to simplify, like all of my podcasting that I do is on one day. Now the rest of my week is committed to my work, and I can do a little bit here, a little bit there. Of course there's research, because as you know, Dave, everything mixes. You don't just, you know, I podcast that day I'm done. I mean, you're always working on something, but as far as the heavy duty lifting. And then when it got to be too much at one point, when I ran a network, I got help, and the help keeps you on track too.
Yeah, if you can get, I was talking to somebody this week about getting a virtual assistant. I've never done that. And everything, it's not a matter of I don't know what to do. I know what I want to do. I don't have enough time. And for me, what I do is I'm in constant pursuit of content. So when I went to Podcast Movement, one of the things I was like, I'm coming back with a lot of interviews. And, you know, so I've had like 3 weeks of material from Podcast Movement. I use a program called Feedly, F-E-E-D-L-Y, and I'm going to say I check about 80 blogs when I fire that bad boy up. I have Google Alerts that send me links to anything related to podcasts. So I try to be, you know, I'm just constantly in pursuit of anything about growing your audience, connecting with an audience, podcasting, podcast gear, you name it. And that's basically it. And like for some of my shows, like we mentioned the Logical Weight Loss podcast, that was just getting shorter, because I'm again, kind of said all there is to say about that subject. I'm not losing weight. And we talked about imposter syndrome in the past. I am an imposter. I'm doing a weight loss podcast and I'm not losing any. Well, I lose weight. I just find it. And so that one, that one is on the back nine. I can tell you right now, I'm like, I really want to start losing weight. I want to go out on a high on that podcast, but I'm really having a hard time finding things that excite me to talk about that. And if I'm not excited, you know, we're out of luck.
Yeah.
So, you know, with,
well, I think that goes back to things run its course, you know?
Yeah.
When you're actively changing something, it's easy to do a podcast. You know, for me, it was my life and dealing with my problems. For you, it was weight loss or the musicians marketing. And now that you're focusing on a whole different area, school of podcasting is easy. This show is easy to ask the podcast coach because you're always changing and you're always learning and you're always loving it. But, you know, if you're not losing weight, you may not want to do a weight loss thing.
Now, with Mike, is a podcast tech coach. No, podcast help desk. It used to be podcast. Let me make sure I got the right URL here. Podcasthelpdesk.com. Right, Mike? I believe that is.
Well,
that.
You look that up. I have one other thing that keeps me going. It's an app that I had to find recently called – I looked at a bunch of different ones. One I landed on was Wunderlist, W-U-N-D-E-R.
Yep.
Wunderlist, and it's just a checklist, and you can set it up to give you alerts and this and that. But with me managing, counting my podcasts as business, because that's what I'm trying to turn them into. When one's profitable, the other one we're still working on. You have to manage what you have to do in the day, and you have to have priorities. And so one of my actual clients who pays my bills, she was like, okay, you need to make sure that we're getting these things done. And she's been training me on how to work lists, and she's been very, very, very helpful and influential in me setting up my businesses. And so I read the book, The Checklist Manifesto, which is a very entertaining book. It doesn't tell you how to do a checklist or how to use it so far, but it's very much an illustration on why you should and how it will change your life. And I use Wunderlist. And so I have a work list and a family list and an ASAP, like I have to do this today and I can't go to sleep until it's done list. And you check them off and you can send them recur. And it's very helpful because I'll be sitting here on a Friday afternoon going, man, in the past, I'm like, man, I'm done. And I would have shut everything down and gone downstairs and hung out with the family or gone out and whatever and then missed something. But 2 weeks ago it was, I was supposed to turn in stats every – in fact, I do that today. I'm late on that. But I was supposed to turn in stats every Friday to one of my clients. I'm making that note right now. Thanks, Dave. you helped me remember. I missed doing something last night. But – I was sitting on a Friday afternoon going, I'm done. I'm like, I'm going to check my list. And sure enough, there was two things I'd missed on the list. Like, oh, and I knocked them out real quick. And then I was truly done and there was no worry. So if you get something like,
yeah. And suddenly
once you lose my papers.
But, okay. That was weird. Google Hangout had a glitch.
And suddenly you turned.
Yeah. Am I back for you? You're back for me.
Yeah.
That was weird.
You didn't go.
Sergeant Fred says, don't forget, he has gaincontrolofyourday.com. It's, since we're kind of talking about productivity and staying on task, things like that. Mm-hmm. And, episodes 15 through 60 are free and you can find that at gaincontrolofyourday.com. That's actually one of Fred's specialties. Mike, I'm always surprised. Mike, also works for Blueberry and I'm sure he's got a tremendous insight. So I was always surprised that, because on one hand, it can't be the Blueberry podcast because he works for Blueberry. He's always very transparent about that, but he can't do like the Blueberry thing. But I would always like, well, I guess he did. He did an episode on Feedburner and how that's kind of a hassle for people sometimes. I was always looking to hear like, what are the big problems that you run into over from your chair? Like one of the top, questions and things like that that people run into. Because that's why I always look forward to your show. I'm like, oh, here's a guy who's got a pretty wide perspective of what the problems that people are facing. And so that's what I always look forward to with your show. And that's where you got to kind of look at, you know, what makes you unique. And that is one of the things that makes Mike unique. He has a tremendous view from his chair as part of the tech support people over at Blueberry. So, and then you embrace that uniqueness and, yeah, and bring it in. And speaking of uniqueness, we would like to speak with you. If you want to call in, that number is 845-262-2401. That is again, 845-262-2401. And don't forget, we're over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. Don't be shy. We would love to chat with you. And
he says, I do have, excuse me. Now I can call in if you'd like. I'll call in on the phone line. I have a question. There are so many platforms out there, and that's one of the things I'm looking at for my clients right now. They're like, how many, what all can we be on, and how important is it? Hey, Michael says in the chat room, moving off of SoundCloud is the one lately, the question that they've been getting lately. These that pop up, SoundCloud, Mixler, Spreaker.
Tune in.
Mixcloud.
Mixcloud. Yeah,
it's like, okay, there is a Mixcloud, right? I think it's mostly for musicians, but I'm pretty sure it's Mixcloud. There's stuff out there. It's we as the leaders of podcasting, how do we, who's been doing it for, that's why we've just been doing it for a while, so when you come to it new, you look for the guys who've been doing it going, oh, I'm not saying, you know, I'm president of podcasting, just so you know. Prime minister, that's what I am, prime minister of podcast. Anyway, how do we determine when something comes up? Now Spreaker's been around for a while, SoundCloud's been around for a while, Mixler's been around for a couple years now. I actually used it back in the Bearcoin days. How do we determine what's good for what type of show? Because that's the key. It's like Spreaker is for live. I mean, that's their heart. Now, you can probably put up other stuff on there, but it's for live. People are asking how to get off of SoundCloud. Where do we guide people to help them out?
That's a great question. My question is, why do they want to leave SoundCloud? Because, hey, it's bright and shiny. It's orange, man. Why would I ever want to? And it's the best thing since ever. I mean, it's like, why in the? That's what I would like to know. Why do they want to move off of SoundCloud? Or they just figured out that it's buggy and icky. And we actually had Jeff Roney called in a couple weeks ago and said, "I need to,
Roney's own. Yep.
Yeah, I need to make a post because I made a thing about the 27 steps to get into iTunes." He said, "You need to make a post on how to move from one media host to the other." And I'm actually working on it. I started the post. It's almost done. Charles, I'm going to play something that I don't think you can hear because I forgot to load it on my iPad. So okay. I think the audience is going to hear this. I will tell you what it is. Talking about different platforms and such. I'll be interested to hear if they can hear this. At this point, I'm waiting for it to show up. My when you're running 57 things on your machine, which is weird. This should open up in Windows Media Player. There it is. It's just taking its good sweet time. This is actually an advertisement from Podbean. So we'll see if I'll watch the blinking lights. This is weird, man. My Windows Media Player is completely like just taking its good sweet time on this.
Do you want to advertise on this podcast? Go to podbean.com now. For only $1, you can get 1,000 listens. You can also predefine geographic locations and categories for where your advertisement will run. Start using the most cost-effective advertising campaign now. Go to podbean.com. That's podbean.com.
I finally got that over to Charles. It was a dollar per download. Like, dollar per thousand downloads.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, wow, one CPM. We were talking about that last week about how Podbean is kind of fishy because they have a lot of networks on their front page. That as I did this thing called reporting, and I asked the people on the front page, "Do you know you're on the front page of Podbean, and it looks like they're using your service?" And Grammar Girl Mignon Fogarty said, "That is not correct. I am not on Podbean." And she said, "And half our logos are wrong, and our feed is wrong." And I went, "I call that false advertising." And
false advertising. See, that's a new thing, or that's something I hadn't been dealt with in podcasting is. Yes, we have IP, which is intellectual property, but can anybody just take our RSS and put it on their site? I mean, I used to give people blatant permission to use I said, pirate my show. Put it on Pirate Bay, because that's how, if people think they can't get it somewhere else and they're downloading it through Pirate Bay, at least they're listening. And I wasn't selling anything. But when you take somebody like Mignon Fogarty, who is honestly big time in podcasting and is becoming the grammar expert for news media and those kind of things too in the U.S., can you really hijack her podcast? I mean, where's the is there any laws against that or any kind of discussion on that right now?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what is, I guess you could license it under, you know, Creative Commons. I think there's some of those where you have different versions of what you can and cannot do here. The one, the only Jim Cullison is back in the chat room. He must be listening on his app. And we should say, welcome home to Jason Bryant. He was in something like Berserkistan or Bakasukistan or something over there covering the world wrestling, not the actual wrestling, not like throwing chairs kind of wrestling. But
holy crap. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the Podbean pricing. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I emailed them and said, hey, I've had some people say that, you know, you're using them on your front page and they're not on your front page. Can you tell me about that? And oddly enough, I have not received a reply on that. Yeah, Mike says in the chat room, says, I found my podcast on some very strange sites. Yeah, I don't do it as much as I used to. I used to put a link back to my site on my site. So that if somebody scraped my RSS feed, if nothing else, I was getting a link back.
Like you mean in your show notes?
Yeah. Like it would be like this, yeah. This episode originated at schoolofpodcasting.com just if somebody did that. And, wow, that's weird. Jason says the connectivity on the new iOS 8. Boy, wasn't that fun. I fired up my phone yesterday. I didn't upgrade to whatever the new iOS 8 is, but 32 of my apps updated in one day. I was like, oh, well, that'll be fun. And he says the thing is super choppy. So, yeah, I'd have to look. Mignon's over at quickanddirtytips.com. And I guess you could. Here's a question. Somebody asked me this, and I went, it's really – there is no set rule. But when, let's say you interview somebody. What do you say they can do with your show? And do they have to link back to your website? Can they take the MP3 and put it on their site? Can they make a copy of it? And my answer was, you decide. I don't know if there's a best practice. Usually what I do after an interview is I will send somebody and say, hey, thank you so much for being on my show. Our interview is live. Here's the link to it. Here's the link to the MP3. So if they want to put it on their website, just use my MP3. Why not make it easy for them? And then if I'm on SoundCloud, I'll, like, if you're a SoundCloud person, you want to put it on your Facebook, here's the link to the SoundCloud thing. Just trying to make it as easy as possible for them to share it. And they were asking, you know, what if they want to use a segment of it, things like that. And I'm of the opinion that, hey, however you want to put the word out about me, as long as you say Dave Jackson, School of Podcasting.com, I'm fine. What are your thoughts on that?
I actually take it a step back. Is you don't even have to mention me. I came to this a long time ago on the Bear Crawling Nation as I was developing who I am and figuring out where I wanted to go. And there were some imitators at the time, which is, you know, a good, it is a great source of flattery. It's like, all right, cool. You know, I'm doing something that you like. And they weren't crediting me. And I had some people come to me like, hey, they're stealing your stuff. I'm like, you know what? Steal away. You take what I did, repeat it, whatever, because what I realized is you have to be you in podcasting. And only I can be me, and I can pull off what I can pull off and do my jokes and do whatever. And you can try it. But if you're just trying to be me, you're not going to succeed.
Yeah.
If you're going to take something I did and change it to yours, man, that makes me happy because I just – on Success Freaks, we use the term help others be awesome, HOBA. And so if I can do something that makes you better, that's awesome. Great. If you take something, I'll fully acknowledge that you took what I did and made it 1,000 times better. You know, Dave has stuck to this live thing and done really well with it, and I'm very happy for him. And I do semi-live now, and that's something I can explain if everybody's interested. But I don't do a live scheduled show anymore. And the thing is I just give. So, and I do, if you play my content, you know it's going to be me. I mean, that's the bottom line is you'll hear my voice. You'll hear that personality come through. And that's, I think that's the ultimate copyright is you have, if you're used so well that people can recognize you when they hear it somewhere else, they go, wait a minute, that's not right. I actually did that. I have a book by Dr. Wayne Dyer. Excuses be gone. I had to look at what the title was. Excuses be gone. And I listened to it, and he read it himself on the audiobook. So I know his voice. I know how he talks. And I remembered certain parts of the content. One night I'm driving around town, and it's AM radio, and it's midnight or one. I'm coming back from some gig I did. And I get on AM radio, and I hear this motivational stuff. I'm like, hey, I don't hear motivation on AM radio very often. I'm going to listen to this. And as it's going along, wait a minute, that's familiar. And then it clicked to me. They were literally reading Dr. Wayne Dyer's book or quoting it or whatever, but they never quoted him. They never said it was his idea. And I ultimately wrote into the station going, do you know that you're airing plagiarism, essentially?
Yeah.
Because they never gave him credit and they treated it like his. But you can go find the book, gave him the title. And I think that's the ultimate copyright is now if I didn't know who it was, then I just take the information. And then that's the flip side, isn't it, Dave? Is your information good whether you said it or not?
That's – you hope so, right? In theory.
Yeah.
So – and the other thing I do with interviews is I typically do what's called an audio release. Like at the end of the episode, I will say, okay, and that's it. And they'll be like, thanks. And I'll be like, okay, cool. And then I'll say, while I am still recording, is there anything that we just said that you would not want put on the podcast? And they always go, no, what are you talking about? And I'm like, that's – I just need you to say that. So – in the future, if you go, I didn't. I'm going to say no. I've got your write off in an audio format. I know Michael Gohagan back in the day, Mr. Real Reviews back from 2004 used to have people like fill out a release kind of thing. I've never gone quite that formal because most of the time I'm interviewing friends or people that are soon going to be my friends, and I'm not asking where were you on the night of the 24th. You know, nothing that crazy that they go, well, you know, it's not that. Not that crazy, but yeah. So, hey, just go ahead.
No, one of the projects I work with is producing audio for essentially a company. And yeah, I'm their technical producer and they're two hosts. They do interviews and I'm coaching through all of it and I'm editing and all the technical stuff. And they had a guest come back after we published the show and goes, well, I thought you were gonna let me listen to it before you aired it. And I didn't even have a chance to respond to the, because I don't respond to the guests or to the anybody directly. I'm behind the scenes, so I would respond to the host, and they would take it. Before I even did, the host stepped up and went, well, no, we don't do that because we know people don't like to hear their own voice, and then they would slaughter the show as well. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. You're fine. We know everything was good. We made you sound great, and we hope you liked it. I'm like, kudos on you, Mr. Non-podcaster, non-radio broadcaster. You got that one perfect right out the gate, you know. And he's an entrepreneur, so he's built businesses, and maybe it just kind of transitioned over instantly. But I was like, that's the answer, is I never have given my guests a chance to redact or recant or whatever. And you hung up.
I was just going to say, just so you know, the phone is having an issue, which I'm fixing right now.
911?
No.
Hopefully. Okay, I'll keep talking.
Hopefully that's not 911. But yeah, I was just sitting there and all of a sudden I looked up and I'm like, hey, we have no phone calls.
Andrew, you are 6.
There we go. So now the phone will be back up. If you want to call, we always love to hear from you in theory.
Welcome, host.
There we go. So we're now, back in the deal.
In the host room and can manage your call you and from the call in studio.
Isn't that, actually, isn't that a wonderful voice?
Yeah. That's what you didn't hear me. Cause I did the professional thing this morning where I connected to Dave. I did not unmute my microphone.
That's always fun. Speaking of callers ending in 170, you are on with Dave and Charles. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, this is Rich. Hi, Dave and Charles. Saturday morning.
Happy Saturday morning, man.
Thanks. This is a really interesting topic, and I found myself thinking about it a lot, about the content, and there's a legal side to it, who owns it, and what can you do with it without breaking the law, but there's also a more genteel side to it, and that's what I want. It's kind of people's expectations, and the last couple of minutes, they've answered some of the questions I had about having people say something at the end of your interview that, you know, what they said is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the thing that prompted this is that Nick Loper, who has a podcast called The Side Hustle Nation, he wrote a book, and he wrote it by taking a bunch of content from John Lee Dumas' site and the book. Now, he asked John about it, and John said, sure, go ahead. Take the information and put it into a book. That was fine. But if I were to come to School of Podcasting and take a bunch of your stuff and put that into a book, and I didn't ask you, you know, that gives you some publicity, but it also might be a little bit offensive. How would you feel about that if someone did that?
Well, they do it all the time. Unfortunately, I listen to other podcasts that, I mean, on one hand, I don't have, there's no like patent on how to podcast. I don't have a patent on because of my podcast, right? But I hear people that will take that segment because of my podcast, they'll rename it and put it on their show. Well, okay. It's a podcast success story. I can't say, well, I'm the only one that can talk about podcast success stories, but it's so when I hear that, I'm like, all right, I know, wonder where they got that idea. You know, but it's like Charles said, you're not going to out Dave Jackson at being Dave Jackson, and people will tune into me because they like me, and you'll tune out because you think I'm an idiot. One of the two. And, you know, if you like this other guy, by all means, go ahead. If they took it and wrote a book, I mean, one of the things, there's an article in Podtertainment magazine from Todd Cochran saying, look, there is a lot of resources for free on how to learn how to podcast. And, you know, if you've got, I always say, what do you have more of, time or money? If you've got more time, then by all means, have fun going to Google, doing a search, hope that all your content is up to date, and have fun starting your podcast. Now, if you don't have a whole lot of time, which is most of America, well, why not come to the School of Podcasting, and I'll show you how to do it, and I'll help you avoid the common pitfalls. I'll be there to answer any questions you have. So when you watch that video and you go, what do they mean? You can ask me, and I'll explain it in a different way. So, you know, would I be crazy about it? No, but on the other hand, I you know, I'm not the only person telling people how to podcast. So, but if it was blatantly ripped off, I'm trying to think if there's anything that I say that nobody else says. I mean, right now I'm really into saying content that makes an impact on your audience, but you know, it's not a trademark, you know.
I honestly think, well, and I think differently to the world.
Go ahead, Charles.
Okay, I'll take it. All right. honestly think that we should be flattered. We should be honored. And even if somebody's taking your direct words, and maybe sometimes they attribute it to Dave Jackson, maybe sometimes they don't, you still know it came from you. And you still know, go forth, kid, and conquer. You know, that's just my outlook on life. And I know I look at things differently, but it's just – You did something I couldn't do, because it's not about what I say. It's not about what my mind came up with, and I'm the genius, and I want to protect it, because that makes me feel like I'm hoarding and holding on tight, and nobody can get in. I'm like, no. If I said, because of my podcast, and then some other show who didn't attribute to me said the same thing and did the same segment, I would smile. And then I might call him like, great job on that because of the podcast. Man, you did a good – if it was good, if it was bad, I wouldn't call in, because I don't call in with negative stuff personally. Here's the question. We're building the future with podcasting. We're building this new way of doing things. We've been doing it for a while. Everybody knows now that it's going to change the way media is done. It has changed the way media is done. Do we want to build a future that's similar to the past of lawsuits and everybody holding on tightly and being jealous because you're successful with something I did?
Yeah.
Or do we want to create a community where somebody comes back and says, man, thank you for all the help that you gave. And I'm a millionaire now, and here, I'm going to give you some of the money. I'm going to help you. Or when I become this person that has a million person audience, I'm going to, hey, I got this from Dave Jackson. I learned everything I learned from Dave Jackson. One of the most famous stories I've heard along these lines was, I'll get the guitarist wrong. I know I will. But I want to say it was Eddie Van Halen back in the late 80s, early 90s. Was heralded, like in interviews, like, man, you're heralded as one of the greatest guitar players in the world. He goes, no. I learned everything I learned from some Christian guitarist, Phil something.
Phil Keaggy.
And Phil Keaggy, yeah, which who I've met, actually. He's a pretty cool guy. But Phil Keaggy. And that blew that world away, because in the rock and roll world, you didn't do that. You're like, yeah, I'm a rock god. And he's like, no, I learned what I learned from him, and he's the greatest guitar player in the world. And that's kind of what I think the podcasting attitude should be.
Well, I think it's Stephen Covey that talks about, and I wish I could remember the catchphrase, but you need to have an attitude of, like, I forget what it's called, but where you have there's more than enough, like an attitude of bounty, or so many times we think, because people are like, well, why do I connect with other podcasters that are, quote, my competition? And I'm like, well, if I think there's only so much audience to go around, I have to hold on to every single audience member.
Right.
You kind of get stressed out. And I'm like, no, there's, and I forget what it's called, but when you basically have the attitude that there's more than enough and you just kind of chill out and you net, cause I mean, if I didn't network with people like you and Ray and Daniel and Mike and all the other guys, I'd be missing out on some really great friendships. And, right. You know, so, that's you know, you have
I think
to
the term you're looking for, David, is I think the term you're looking for is abundance. The scarcity and abundance mindset are
that
you know, 180 degrees apart, and you're absolutely right. Yeah.
So that's the way I've always done it.
It's because of your mindset of abundance that we have these nice Saturday morning get-togethers. You're sharing something a lot more valuable than money, and that's an hour of your time, and more than an hour of your time, and it's great. And we still have a great community of podcasters, and I hope it stays that way for a long time. I'm a little bit cynical, and I'm sure that at some point it'll all get taken over by big dollar interests, and maybe the community will go away, but maybe it won't. I don't know.
There's nothing wrong. Here's where we have to take control. There's nothing wrong with big dollar interests because we all need to pay our bills and put food on the table. But if we don't let that change us, if we say, okay, this is who I am and you're paying me for this and you can go away at any time and that's fine because this is who I am and this is what I do, then I don't think it will go away. I've personally built that model into my podcasting and for 10 years didn't make a dime. And now because of Patreon, where the community becomes that big dollar interest, I've made a very profitable and successful podcast. And the two interests came together. I built a community for free, and the community came back and said, here, let us give back and help you, and it's been an awesome thing.
Yeah, I see Tommy in the chat
room.
Great.
That's wonderful.
Yep, Tommy has a thing here in the chat room. He says he does the audio release is kind of what I was calling it before. He says, we start, and he says, I'll say, do you agree that I have your permission to use the audio we're about to create in the production and promotion of Actors Talk podcast. So he kind of does that right up front, and the person will say, yes, I do. And he says, I also make it clear that I edit the podcast, and my promise to them is that I will not edit the interview to make it sound as if they said something they didn't. That's a great point, because you don't want to say – that'd be fun to take an answer that where somebody goes, absolutely, I do it all the time, and then you change the question to be, you know.
Do you beat your wife?
Yeah.
But the key to that answer is – be upstanding and honorable and be trustworthy and they don't have to worry about it. You know, I mean, and that's, I think that's where the Help Others Be Awesome on our show Success Freaks makes it clear that when somebody comes on is we're just going to make you be the best you can be. And we're going to ask questions that help bring that out for our audience and for you. We're going to blah, 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 blah. And then you're honorable and trustworthy because honestly, it'll take what, Dave, one time of you not doing that, of you thinking it's funny to put in the wife beater question and then you're done. And you're done forever.
Yeah.
And you might even get sued. I mean, it might be even worse than that.
Well, we had that discussion. This was years ago. But it happens, right? If you're a parent, it's going to happen. Your kid's going to lie to you. And we caught my stepson in a lie. And we had to explain to him, like, look, dude, you don't realize you had a huge bankroll. You could do just about anything you wanted because you'd never given a reason for us to not trust you. And now you have. So we're going to have to second guess everything. And it's going to take a while for you of doing the right thing to build that bank back up. And it's kind of the same thing, I think, with a podcast. If you really turn your back on providing value, I can see people going, you know, they might give you one or two more listens, but eventually if you're not bringing the goods, they're going to go, yeah, okay, well, unsubscribe and off you go. And Rick, before I forget, what's your podcast? You have a website?
I do have a website, but my podcast isn't in it. It's just for some voiceover stuff that I'm trying to get going. It's richgrimshaw.com. It's very original. I'm blessed with a unique name, so I was able to get that.
Very good. Cool. I should have recognized your voice.
All right. Awesome. Yeah, that's okay. All right, guys. I'm going to ring off and let somebody else take over. Thanks for your help.
Yeah. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
I always love when Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs calls in under a different name. It's always cool, man. You get the good names. I know who you are, Rick, quote unquote. He's got a great voice. I hope he does do well in the voiceover work.
Yeah.
You got another caller?
Actually, we do not. But if you want to call in, that number, of course, is 845-262-2401, 845-262-2401. 2401, and you can find us out at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And yes, everybody's chiming in saying that the phrase I was looking for is abundance mentality. And that is correct. Tell them what they've won. It's a cheese straightener. Congratulations on the cheese straightener. So
Dingley, my baby.
You know, well, what's been going on with you lately? I know we were actually off air. We were discussing on email the other day that back in the day when we started, we had our podcast. We were so excited. We had nothing else going on. I mean, we had a day job or whatever else was going on for life. But creatively, we were like, oh, I actually built a network out of going, I want something else to do. I want to try and learn new things. I want to do this and that. So I started attracting other shows. And like, I remember sitting at my job being done for the day and still having to be at work for a few hours, emailing my guys going, give me something. Shoot me some audio to edit. Give me something. I'm going to go tinker with your website because I'm bored. Now, we can't even get our own stuff done. I mean, Dave, you said you've been trying to move School of Podcasting to a different server.
Yeah, it's
the
back end of the School of Podcasting is half moved. And what's hilarious is this is where I always tell people, you know, when it comes to picking your topics, you should pick something you're passionate about, pick something that your audience wants to hear. And then more importantly, the third piece of that is, does it tie in with your goals? And so I started moving the School of Podcasting into this WordPress theme, the back end on a separate site that was really solely designed for people doing education. And it is, it's really, really cool. And it has this cool piece where if somebody wanted to, like, let's say you had a class on, you know, community building, you could actually sell it at the School of Podcasting. And I would earn a small commission, but most of it would go to you. And I could have different teachers beside myself. I'm like, oh, that sounds really, really cool. But I really like the fact that it had this cool layout and this and that. And in the end, the learning curve of this thing is so – it does so much that it's taking me forever. And I sat down one day and went, okay, why am I moving again? And I'm like, well, I wanted it to have a better layout. I want it to be clean. I want to make it easy to find stuff. And I'm like, okay, does this website do this? Well, yeah, but I have to jump through a lot of hoops to get there. And I looked at another theme I have, which is Optimized Press version 2 that I also own, which would also do that with a much less learning curve. And I went, okay, so this other theme thing has the ability to sell other people's stuff at the School of Podcasting. And I went, am I really going to do that? You know what I mean? It's like having a Corvette in Ohio. Is there some place where I can drive 150 miles an hour? No, because our holes are full of potholes. So I'm like, yeah, that's a cool feature, but I'm never going to use it. So what do I gain by keeping this theme? Okay, I gain another learning curve. I have to leave the processing and the membership site technology that I use called Digital Access Pass. And this is what killed me. Digital Access Pass just came out with a ton of updates. And they're always updating that, and they're always making it better. And I'm like, why am I leaving that technology? That's really good technology. Why am I doing this? Yeah. And that's when I looked at it, and I'm like, okay, because this has this other feature and this other feature. I'm like, I'm not going to use those, though. And so I had to really step back and go, what am I doing again? And sometimes you get kind of mesmerized by the bright and shiny stuff. And so I am in the process now of removing the School of Podcasting to this other thing. And it was good. There's a learning curve there that I learned that I was like, okay, I saw how I want it laid out. And now I'm going to redo that with Optimized Press. I believe that's the plan. And I was going to have the School of Podcasting's membership site on a separate site. That's not going to be the case anymore. So it was an interesting learning curve. But but the problem is then when on one hand I've got bills to pay. So I do things like consulting. I do audio editing. And, you know, you have clients. But the bad news is if you have a bunch of those, then you don't have time to do your own stuff. And that's where your passion is your own stuff. I mean, I love doing stuff for clients. I like to see what people are doing. But that's where you start thinking, okay, should I get a, what do you call it, a person from the Philippines, a virtual assistant, to then do some of the stuff, you know, and then you start branching out. And it is, there are times where you have to go back and go, what is it I'm trying to do? You know, look at the original.
You always have to know your why.
Yeah. And so it was like, okay, well, here's what I want to do. And because I have a lot of things now that I want to do, like I want to update my book on more podcast money. And I've said nothing gets done until the School of Podcasting has moved. And so that's the I'm going to be doing a lot of that. So you'll see a couple things coming up in the future. My shows are going to get shorter by design because I'm going to take the extra time it takes and get this moved because I promised some people this is going to be done this year. And I've been working on it for the better part of 6 months, and which is sad that I've worked on it for 6 months and now everything I did I'm going to undo. But you do that, and it's a learning experience. You know, the logical losers, the thing we started talking about. You know, I tried it. It didn't work. And that was one. The other reason I shut that one down, if I can't do something well, like if I can't promote it with an honest heart and say, no, this is the best resource for that, I don't want to do it. You know, so I just went, yeah, okay, that one's down. So I'm cutting things off, and I realize that podcasting is my passion, and that's, you know, I eventually want to have almost all my podcasts just be about podcasting. You know, I'll do the, you know, I might still do the weight loss thing. I might do weekly web tools, but most of the stuff I really want to just focus on podcasting stuff because that's the stuff that really trips my trigger, for lack of a better phrase. So
and that's where you kill your babies, and that's where you. Yeah. And if you're just new to the show right now, go get the podcast and download it. I'm not being ugly. That came from a quote from something else. But that's where you've taken the time to learn not just what you want to do, but who you are.
Yeah.
You know, you're going through all these things. You can do all these things, but man, this is what gets you up in the morning. This is what, you know, you hit me up yesterday and you didn't know this, but I've been doing a live gig for a hotel in Atlanta for 2 days straight. That's getting up at 4 a.m. and getting up there by 6, being there all day, doing audio and customer service and production, and coming home late and rinse and repeat. And you're like, hey, are you up at 10:30 on Saturday mornings? And I instantly went, because it's talking to you, number one, which I don't get to do but 2 or 3 times a year, and all 4 on there. And it's on the microphone, which is, for me, talking to people is what gets me fired up. I was like, absolutely, without a doubt. And I got up and drug around to the coffee maker this morning and made it happen, because that's what fires me up. And both have taken time to figure that out. And for those of you new into podcasting, understand that this, you may hit it out of the park the first time. You may already know what gets you going during the day. When life is punching you in the face and everything's going wrong, you still want to talk about this one thing or do this one thing or help somebody with this one thing, whatever that one thing is. That's really about who you are and what you want to do with that. And that's, I mean, that answers everything we've talked about. That's how you don't worry about your content being stolen. That's how you stay to your schedule. That's how, because if you don't have that, man, I believe that everybody has that. Just not everybody knows what that is.
It's a matter of, and sometimes you peel back a leaf, and I think that's it. I think my poor stepdaughter went through about 3 different programs till she finally found one to finish and actually get a degree at school. You know, first she was going to be a nurse. First she was going to be a teacher. Then she was going to be a nurse, and she finally graduated. She's a physical therapist. You know, but it took her a while to figure out really what was her passion and what did she want to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, yeah. I originally wanted to be a technician. You know, I went to school, got my 2-year degree, fixed copiers for a couple years, and I went, you know what? When you're a technician, everybody you deal with is not happy because their stuff is broke. And and there wasn't a lot of talking involved. You know, I'd walk in and be like, it stinks, it's broken, it's over there, fix it. You know, and I'm like, okay. And then I'd go and say, it's fixed now. And they go, okay, thank you. And that was it. There wasn't a lot of interaction. And I just went, wow, this kind of stinks. So then when they finally said, hey, we're expanding into our training department, would you like to get into here? And I'm like, yeah. So, you know, and that was that.
Where people can be happy. Yeah.
Where people leave.
I was the same way. I was a paramedic for 10 years, and that's the guy who comes on the ambulance and saves your life. And the same situation, just, and honestly, it really is. It really is the same situation as being a tech, is you show up in every situation that is bad for them and their loved ones. And most of the time you do something good for them. And when you do something great and amazing, and there's only once or twice I said, because I was there, I saved this person's life. If I hadn't been there, they were toast. Rarely it's that case. But anyway, blah, blah, blah. I didn't even get a thank you. In fact, the newspaper wrote it up, and they featured the volunteer firefighter who literally did nothing but stand on the side of the road, but he hugged the mom. So he got the picture in the paper. And it was like, that was when I knew that life was pretty much over for me at that point. Because that was 8 or 9 years into my career, and I was like, you know what? Very rarely do I stand on ego and what I did, but I actually saved this kid's life. And my boss recognized it because they're in the industry. They get it. But the family didn't get it. The public didn't get it. I was like, I can't do this anymore because I need that balance to the everybody hating on me for when I didn't do something their way or you know, whatever. And that can come in podcasting. That can come in creating your content. Is you got to create content you love. You got to do it because you love it. Somebody said selfish benevolence.
That's the opposite of that. There. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. You do it because you want to do it. You do it because it makes you happy. That's the selfish part of it. The benevolence part is you're giving it to everybody else.
Absolutely.
And don't care if they like it or not. And that's the key. You have to do it because you like it. I wasn't a paramedic because I absolutely loved it and changed life.
And tell everybody where we can find you.
I like facebook.com/House of the Bear. You'll get all the shows I do, all the projects I'm on, and all the live events that I go through.
And to answer one last question in the chat room here, Sergeant Fred, no, I am not moving off Digital Access Pass. And that's one of the reasons why. They have phenomenal support, and they're always growing that bad boy. And that's when I went, why am I leaving this? This is really great technology. It's a little more expensive than some of the other stuff, but no, I'm not moving away from that. But hey, Jim will be back next week. Charles, thank you so much, buddy, for being on.
That's been awesome. I want to thank Jim for giving me the opportunity.
And we are here every Saturday, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. You can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20, all lowercase, and save $20 off your first month at schoolofpodcasting.com. And thanks to the chat room, as always. You guys always rock. Always appreciate it. And Charles, you got time for a little post-show?
Always, man.
Always? All right. So thanks, everybody, so much. And we will see you next week with another fun-filled episode featuring your calls, your questions at Ask the Podcast Coach. Thanks so much.